BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new week here on the program. And hopefully my voice holds up for today. Feeling better, but, you know, you gotta get through the strain on the voice. So got my throat coat tea and my coffee. And hopefully we'll have a nice, easy sounding show. But if it gets a little rough, I apologize in advance. I tried to limit my talking as much as I could over the weekend to save my voice, but friends wanted to hang out with me for my birthday and because they were in town, and so I tried to hold back. But we do have a lot that we can discuss this morning. Now, if you're a Patriots fan, be interested in getting your reaction to the, I guess, disaster that was a Patriots win. Because the Patriots were in position where all they had to do is lose the game and they would have had the number one overall pick. And instead, they won the game. Now they'll have the fourth pick, I guess. And Coach Gerard Mayo was fired. But I'm pretty sure he was going to get fired whether they won that game or not yesterday. Everything happened so quickly that it seemed to me that this was already in play. And I think my theory on this, and I don't know anything, I haven't talked to anybody, but my theory on this is that Gerard Mayo knew he was getting fired after the game, and so he kind of tanked things. Well, I shouldn't say tank because he won the game, but and then he said afterwards, I every time I go on the field, I'm coaching the team to win. But why is it a big deal? I mean, some people are saying the Patriots need so much talent moving forward. Why does it matter if they have the first pick or the fourth pick? First picks are usually quarterbacks. They have their quarterback of the future. Why do they need the first pick? But that's exactly why. When teams know that you're not going to draft a quarterback, they know that you don't need that number one pick. But they do, they start offering you the world to get that pick. So they could have turned that number one pick into four or five other picks. First and second round picks that would have been talent that could help the team immediately. So when observers look at this and say that win actually might have set the Patriots back a couple of years, they're not exaggerating. That's exactly what might have happened. Those wins might have set the Patriots back a couple of years. That win might have set the Patriots back a couple of years. Because pieces that they would have gotten in the upcoming draft, they now have to wait for forthcoming drafts to be able to bring into the fold. So we can take your thoughts on that at 508-996-0500. Also on the app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We also can talk more about the city council presidency vote, which will happen tonight. The city council will meet this evening for their organizational meeting, and they will determine who the next council president will be. Councilor-at-large Shane Burgo considered the favorite for it. Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver making a run at it. Either one, in my opinion, would be a fine city council president because, again, I think we are overblowing the significance of the city council presidency. Unless you think that Mayor John Mitchell is going somewhere in the next 360 days, right? Less than that, 359 days. If my math is right, I might be wrong. Yeah. So unless you think he's going somewhere within that time period and with a Donald Trump administration coming into the White House, I don't think that John Mitchell is getting tapped for any federal jobs anytime soon. Any other aspirations for higher office he may have, he'd be able to finish out this year as mayor, at least. So for the next year, I don't think your mayor is going anywhere. So you don't have to worry about your city council president becoming your acting mayor. And even so, that's only until the next election can be held, which could happen within 3 months of a mayor stepping down. And how much is somebody going to enact in 3 months? Again, as I've been saying, it's just the Burgo boogeymen designed to scare you. So that you'll call up your counselor and tell them not to vote for Shane Burgo. But your counselors are smart enough to know, does it really matter? So my concern, though, is what happens when this vote happens and whichever person ends up taking the gavel. And we're going to have Shane Burgo here with us tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the 8 o'clock hour to discuss whether he's the council president or not. But can the two people who are both vying for that position get along when one wins and one loses? It sounded like it from hearing what I heard of Councillor Oliver with Chris McCarthy the other day. That's not going to be a problem. That this is just part of the politics of the game, and that it'll be business as usual, no matter who ends up winning the presidency. Which is why I keep saying it's much ado about nothing. And callers can call up and argue that if you want to. But it really is being overblown. Nobody thought that the world was going to end when Linda Morad was the council president, when Naomi Carney was the council president, Ian Abreu, Joe Lopes. And it's certainly not going to end if Shane Burgo is the council president. Now, you might have a different feeling if the time comes that when Councilor Burgo runs for mayor. But even then, I would say it's hard to, first of all the things that everybody says Shane Burgo wants to do, he hasn't come out and said that he wants to do. He's only said, we're going to have conversations about. At no point do I remember him coming out and saying, I definitely want to build a tent city. He has not come out and said, I definitely want to turn the sheriff's home into a reentry center. He has not come out and said, I definitely want to defund the police. These are all Burgo boogeymen that have been put in your head. Yeah, I mean, I'll say it. He won't mind it. Chris McCarthy has been telling you this. Because that's his analysis of what will happen. That's his prediction based on what he feels Shane Burgo stands for. It is not from his own words saying that that is what he will do. Chris and I were talking about this, and Chris's opinion is if somebody says that they're interested in looking into something, that you can assume that that's something that they want to do. And I'm just not there with that. If you told me, hey, Tim, we need to have a new talk show on WBSM, and here's a show to consider, and I would say, okay, let's consider it. Let's listen to it and see what it's all about. It doesn't mean I'm definitely going to select it. And even if I do select it, it doesn't mean that the bosses above me are going to say, okay, let's go with it. But I would still listen to all of the available options so that I could be sure when I make my decision. And I think that that's what, you know, Shane Burgo has said in a lot of these conversations, is that we need out-of-the-box solutions to some of these problems, especially the homeless problem. So we really can't say that any idea is a bad idea until we've heard it out. And I don't know about you, but I want an elected official that's willing to weigh all of the possibilities before making a decision. And those conversations about, and I'm just going to use the tent city idea, those conversations about that could have been, you know, one meeting where they talked about it and everybody walked away from that meeting saying, oh, well, that's a bad idea. But at least they talked about it. Nobody ever said that they were for it. It wouldn't work if they tried to be for it. The homeless service providers aren't interested in doing it. And you would need them on board to be able to do it. There was one organization that asked about it. One organization is not enough to make that work. The police are not interested in rounding people up and forcing them to go there. The people who would have to go there are not interested in being concentrated in one area. Nobody wants to see it happen. And that would have been the fruit of the conversations that they had about it. Instead, it's played out in the public sphere because of the conversations here on talk radio and articles that were written and such. But it never would have happened. The same way rent control never would have happened. But it was a conversation to have. It was when nobody was talking about anything to solve the problem, at least it was something to talk about. And that might beget other ideas. So a conversation about rent control in which, you know, maybe they come up and say, well, we've determined through this study, through looking into this possibility, that the average household in New Bedford could afford to pay $1,200 a month rent. I'm just throwing this number out there. I don't know if that's true. But then maybe landlords look at that and say, well, if that's the average number, maybe I need to come down on my $2,200 a month rent. Maybe that's why my apartments are sitting empty. Maybe I need to meet people a little bit more in the middle. And that could bring down some of those prices. Now, we know with rents, the market tends to correct itself. If units sit empty, landlords lower the rent. Because it's better to make something than nothing. But that can take a long time for them to admit that that's the case or to come to that realization. But studies and discussions can help them come to that realization faster. Conversations can help. It doesn't mean that the plans go forward, but it means that they were at least discussed. And let's face it too. Councillor Burgo has larger aspirations and therefore likes to make headlines. So these things will make headlines. And certainly it has been the conversation going into tonight's vote. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
It is 89 cents plus tax, but now because of the tax, it's over $4 for a single black and mild. And that's only here in New Bedford.
So a cigar tax. I don't know why I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's posted on all the stores. It's a little piece of paper that's right at the counter. And it says New Bedford tax. And it has $2.90 on it for single cigars and a little more for packs of two and more. But it's only here in New Bedford.
Wow. That's... I mean, maybe there was discussion about that, and I'm just blanking on it because I'm sick, but I don't remember hearing about that.
Yeah, but that's kind of crazy. Like I said, a black and mild was 89 cents. Now you're paying over $4 for it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, how much is a pack of those things?
Yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. I just didn't know why that's like that. It affected on January 1st.
Huh? We can ask Councillor Burgo about that when he's in tomorrow for sure.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Yeah, that's I don't know why I haven't heard about that already. Was that something that's been discussed? I haven't heard about it. Maybe it just blew by me. Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention. Maybe I don't buy them enough. I mean, I'm not going to go buy a black and mild. If I buy a cigar, I'm buying a cigar. But I also haven't bought one in forever. But that's, I mean, I guess if you're charging a tax on something that's like, you know, $4, $5, $6 cigar on its own, $8, $10, $12 cigar on its own. But as the caller pointed out, on a black and mild. I'll have to look more into that. But for now, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
New details on the man behind the deadly attack in New Orleans. Donald Trump plans a major rally in D.C. before his inauguration, and how to make those New Year's resolutions stick.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The FBI says the attack on Bourbon Street was an act of terrorism. Over a dozen people were killed and dozens more injured when a truck plowed through a crowd in the New Orleans hotspot in the early hours of the new year. FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Raya added the suspect pledged his support for ISIS on social media just hours before the attack. They believe he acted alone. The driver who died when a Cybertruck blew up outside the Trump Las Vegas hotel has been identified as an Army vet from Colorado. Law enforcement sources tell the New York Post that 37-year-old Matthew Livelessberger rented the electric truck that exploded on New Year's Day and was in the driver's seat when it blew up. The FBI investigating the explosion as a possible terror attack. Two people are dead and at least 18 more injured after a plane crashed into a warehouse in Fullerton, California. The plane reportedly crashed into the building around 2 p.m. on Thursday. Of the 18 people injured, 10 were taken to a hospital and 8 were treated at the scene. The FBI is releasing new information about the person who placed two pipe bombs near the RNC and DNC headquarters on January 6th of 2021. Authorities still have no suspects and haven't identified a motive for the crimes. On Thursday, they released new video of the person placing one of the bombs near the DNC. The FBI says they estimate the person to be about 5'7". A $500,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the suspect's arrest. Donald Trump is planning a major rally in Washington, D.C. on the eve of his inauguration. Amid a heightened terror threat level, Trump announced he'll host what he called a victory rally you'll never forget for 20,000 of his supporters on January 19th. Trump hasn't held a rally in D.C. since January 6th of 2021, which preceded an insurrection at the Capitol building by some of his followers. Some officials say the short notice for the rally and the recent attacks in New Orleans and Vegas could present security problems. And And getting in shape and losing weight come out on top for New Year's resolutions. Healthy living experts warn not to bite off more than you can chew and to start slow by building up your exercise routine instead of jumping into tough workouts. Just getting on a treadmill or walking for 20 minutes at least 3 times a week is a great place to start.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 118-115. Tonight they're in Houston to play the Rockets. Bruins lost to the New York Rangers 2-1. Their next game is Saturday in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. And the Patriots host the Buffalo Bills in Foxborough on Sunday afternoon.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Breezy and mostly sunny on the South Coast today with a high of 38 degrees. On Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 31. On Sunday, cloudy with a high of 30. And on Monday, cloudy again with a high of 32. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back. 508-996-0500. I'll to let Phil know that he has to put in a new record news. He tries to record it ahead of time so we can go do the Fun 107 news because, you know, you care more about them than us, huh? But, yeah, you just got an old file in there. So I feel bad for that guy, man. He's got to be doing things for both stations for the course of the morning. I don't feel too bad. I had to do the same thing myself for many years. So, yeah, deal with it. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Pardon me for a second. Might have to keep coughing a few times now and then. So the discussion that we were having before the break regarding Councilor Burgo and the city council presidency, you know, we're going to have that vote happening tonight. We'll have Councilor Burgo here tomorrow to talk about whatever the results of that vote are. And I'm sure Chris will be talking more about it today as well. So you can be ready to call into him too. But we will take your calls, 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning, birthday boy.
How you doing?
Good. So, what did you do for your birthday first?
Just hung out with my friend, got some pizza. Nice relaxing day.
Pizza? Oh, you kept it simple.
Went to Linwood.
Linwood, oh. Wow, that's far, isn't it?
Yeah, we were driving around visiting some haunted places and then ended up going there. I mean, that's my favorite pizza, so, you know, it's my birthday. I said, we're going to my favorite place.
You know, my stepbrother and the family goes to Linwood. I can't remember the name of the place. They took me once. It was really good. I wonder if it's the same place.
Well, there's only one Linwood, so.
So I just wanted to say, I'm glad that gentleman called in and talked about the cigars. Because, well, today is the last day I'm going to wait to see if my brother finally gets his orders in. But if not, like I said, I discussed called a couple of places and things. And the cigars, I think, were $10.50 or $12. So I won't buy them here in New Bedford. Not for almost $3 tax.
Yeah, that seems kind of crazy.
Yes. So I will go over to Dartmouth or something. But I'll wait today. But tomorrow for sure you'll have, whether it's from me or from his mail order. But yeah, that's a crazy tax. I think because a lot of people use the blunts to put, you know, pot in. So maybe they figure they're losing money at the cannabis shop. Like they want every bit of tax that can, you know.
Yeah, that could be.
That they can utilize, yeah. So I don't have much to say. I had a good weekend. I made a great ham dinner. So I'll be eating ham. I froze some. Eating ham, I guess, for a few days anyway.
Well, I mean, nothing wrong with some ham.
No, I haven't had it in years. So it tasted so good. Nice Italian ham I got.
Do you put pineapple on it or no?
Yeah, well, I do. I love taking the ham and just putting the crushed pineapple on it. I don't like the whole slices. So I like to bake it with the crush on top. The rings, I don't, you know. But this Italian, it's so good that you really don't need to do anything to the top of it. It's just so yummy. And I found this new, it's a honey and mustard, but it's like, it's a dipping sauce. So I said, I'm going to try that on the ham. Oh, it's so good. So I just found something that I probably will use on a lot of other things.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's all I have to say.
All right. Well,
I hope you get stronger.
Thank you very much. You have a good day.
Yeah. Oh, and just real quick, I said all I had to say over the weekend with Paul about Virgo. So I'm Virgoed out.
All right. Well, we'll see. Well, he'll be here tomorrow, so he'll take phone calls from the listeners.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
You as well. And 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM. Oh, there we go. Got to press the button a little harder.
This is the bing. Hi, how was your birthday?
It was good.
Where'd you go anywhere?
Drove around with my friend and then stopped at Linwood for some pizza.
Oh, where's Linwood?
Randolph.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. You stopped at a good pizza place.
That's my favorite place.
That's good. Oh, perfect. So it's called Linwood. What's the name of it?
It's Linwood Cafe. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. Did you pop up any bottles?
I had a couple of beers and a shot of rye while I was there. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I mean, when
good
I say a couple of beers, you have to realize that the beers at Linwood come in these little 8-ounce glasses. It's really old school there.
Oh, nice. So you just had little tiny glasses. Okay.
Yeah. That's so it probably though. Equaled one beer somewhere else.
Yeah, perfect. That's all they need. I don't like beer, but that's good. I'm glad. Did you have a cake?
No. Well, they got a cake here at the station because we had, Phil Devitt's birthday is January 1st, and Nancy Hall over from 107, she has the same birthday as me, so we got a cake for everybody.
Oh, that's good. But you sound better today. You cough.
Yeah, it's getting there. Voice. It's getting there, but I gotta keep lubricated.
I know. God, yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a nice birthday. Have a good day. Hope you feel better. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Take it easy. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and chime in. Yeah, I mean, this throat coat tea helps. But I would wake up each day and chug a big bunch of DayQuil. And then before I would go to sleep, I would chug a big bunch of NyQuil. And generally, I don't like to take, cold medicines. I like to let it just kind of run its course, maybe take some extra vitamin C, but I was worried about the strain on my vocal cords and tried to limit it as much as I could. Yelling at the cat, "Hey, stop doing that." So I didn't like overexert my voice. "Hey, get down from there. Hey, leave that alone." And he's just looking at me like, am I supposed to be scared of that? That cat is wild, I'm telling you. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I got an app chat message from Participation Trophy Wife that says, "Hey, I just saw you on TikTok Live. That was a fun surprise." Yeah, yesterday I went to Miss Lizzie's Coffee with my friend Amanda, and she was visiting from northern New England where she lives. And so we went to Miss Lizzie's and met with Joe and talked with him about, you know, how things are going over there, and then poked around and investigated a little bit in the basement where, of course, the horrible tragedy of Eliza Borden and her children happened. And we were down there for a little while, and Amanda went live on social media. And we got some pretty interesting happenings. But the important part is we had some really good coffee, too. So 508-996-0500. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, my friend. I hope you roll this out. Have you been doing the good old-fashioned orange pico tea with a dab of natural honey in it?
I put honey in my throat coat tea to help out. I haven't been drinking regular tea. I've just been drinking this throat coat because it helps me out. But the only thing about the throat coat is it's caffeine free.
Yeah, that's for sure. I last month I started CVS. They got vitamin C, basically one of them packets, like 42 of them in a box, 1,000 milligrams. And what I do is, because if you do that consistently, it can also kind of be advert to you. So I basically do, I do it like I split, so it says like for basically like 16 ounces. So I'll do a quart and I'll spread it out over 2 days, but I do it consistently. And this year, doing that, it hasn't been as bad for me. Periodically, I'm getting a dry, sore throat, but I really haven't had a cold.
You just don't,
one day.
I'll say you just don't want to OD on vitamin C, because I had that happen before, and let me tell you, that was a bad experience having too much vitamin C, because I
exactly, yeah. and I went through that myself 3 years ago, so that's why I now split it up. But my condolences and thoughts with Dr. Klein's sudden passing.
Mm-hmm.
I know many people went to him. He actually took care of me one night in the emergency room at St. Anne's. He was covering for somebody, and I was in front of her. Something had happened with an ankle, spinning an ankle, and he came in, spent about 10 minutes with me, and he recognized me from a couple of my friends, and so tragic. Thoughts and prayers to him, his family, and the staff out there. So,
yeah, I mean, and so many people who didn't even have him as a regular doctor, but who had encountered him over the years. I've seen so many people writing about him because they just remembered him. He was a memorable guy for the people that only had brief encounters with him.
Yeah, that's for sure. Have a good day, and if you do less speaking, let the people do more talking, you'll even save your voice more.
That's what works for me.
And you may even save some people's ears, too.
Yeah, that's even better. Better for them, better for me.
All right. Hang in there, buddy.
Have a good day. And 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here, but we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Sorry, trying to keep my throat as clear as possible, but it's not really working out to my advantage. But We will also take your app chat messages and your open line voicemails on the WBSM app if you want to send those in. And I think that we certainly are in that time of year where, you know, they like to say it's going around, but you can do a lot to protect yourself and to keep yourself from picking up everybody else's germs. One thing that we should have done a little bit better of in here in the studio was, you know, spraying Lysoling everything down. We do it anyway every day, but we should probably be doing it in between shifts. Because now that it's gone through all of the hosts, now it can start again. So now I can be patient zero. And we don't, you know, we don't want to get Chris McCarthy sick with all the health issues he's had, but we don't want to have it be an ongoing cycle of things that are happening to everybody. But I always try to avoid getting colds if I can, because inevitably I lose my voice. And I go through it pretty badly. Like there was a stretch of a number of years before I was on the radio every day where I knew if I was sick, I was going to lose my voice and I would lose it for weeks at a time. And we would come in and do Spooky South Coast on a Saturday night. I'd still try to do the show because we were only doing it once a week. And so you can actually hear me on some of those old episodes talking like this. And then when I first started doing the what is now Chris McCarthy's time slot, well, and what was his before, we had our first mini miracle broadcast that we were going to extend into those hours. And I remember like making a big deal about it. Like, I want to run Mini Miracle from 9 to noon as well, and or 10 to 12, whatever we were doing, 9 to noon, whatever. And I was like, I want to do Mini Miracle during those hours too. So come in. And then when the day came, I had no voice. And it got to the point where by the end of that broadcast, I couldn't even make words come out. Like, it wasn't even squeaks anymore. I was just mute. So let's hope it doesn't get to that point. And if it does, I'll have to call Paul Santos and say, hey, can you come in before you go to your regular job and cover for me? But so far, so good. It's been pretty easy trying to stay ahead of it. But you do that thing where you wake up every morning and you get everything out of you that's in you. And then you try to talk for the first time. You say, what do I sound like? And then once you start talking, you say, all right, now I better save it. So I will do my best. But I'm sure by midweek, I'll be fine. This throat coat tea is already kicking in. I'll go make another cup during the break. That's the best thing about this is it's caffeine-free, so it's not like I'm going to get overly wired. And it can help carry us through the show. So there's some other things that we can talk about, including if you were, I don't know if you caught it on the news over the weekend, but all the TV stations had their helicopters and their boots on the ground covering the story. But there's a strip mall in Wareham that it's, so everybody's reporting it as being Onset. It's not really Onset. It's East Wareham by mailing address. There's this weird thing in the east side of Wareham where some parts of it is a Buzzards Bay mailing address. Some parts of it is an Onset mailing address. It's the Onset Fire District that covers it. But it's actually East Wareham. And so this strip mall is in East Wareham. But it's right near the Onset Fire District building. So, and Onset Fire District is the ones that posted about it on Facebook. So they're reporting it as being Onset. But it's right on the Cranberry Highway. And it has, there's a Rent-A-Center in there and a hobby shop. And there's a car dealer, not a car dealership, a car rental place. There used to be a bread store there, you know, a discount bread store. But on the back side of it, underneath everything else, is an antique store. And this building caught on fire yesterday, and the antique store posted that the business was pretty much gone, and they've already started a GoFundMe that's been bringing in some donations. But I used to go to that antique store. It was Not Your Average Antiques. And they had a lot of good stuff in there. A lot of stuff that I was like, is this really antique or is it just stuff that people are collecting and selling? But it was a fun store to walk around, and I always found something in there. But now I guess that business is completely gone. And, I mean, here you are, a building that is literally across the street from the fire station. And that's how devastating of a fire it was, that even with that quick response, they weren't able to save everything. So if you want to donate something, you certainly can. But, some of those businesses are chains and will be okay. But some of them are independently owned and, might have lost their entire livelihood from this fire, which I guess, according to the antique store, started in the hobby shop upstairs. But I haven't seen anything official on that. We got to take our final break of this hour. We'll be right back.